Before we start in the message here this morning, I want to give Jesus just the worship and the praise that he deserves today, because Christmas is all about Jesus. Amen, everybody? And I know we can get caught up in gifts and shopping and that whole thing, but I think it's important that we take time and give him the praise that he deserves. And so I want you and I to give Jesus, come on, just the greatest hand that you can. Lift your voice this morning. Come on, let's just bless him. We bless you today, God. Thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus, Lord. We bless you today. Amen. 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 Well, grab your message notes if you already have it. They're inside your worship guide. If you're here for the first time, you can follow along with us in that way or the screens behind me here. And this series is all about hope and forgiveness. And over the last few weeks, I'm going to do a review in just a moment, but I've really been just kind of overwhelmed of just the wonderful response that we've gotten from you in regards to this series and what God is doing through this series in your life. And you know, I've shared some stats before that studies show that you are more in touch with your pain and what you're going through during this time of year more than any other time of the year. And I don't think it's that we have more problems. I just think that we just feel them more a lot of times during this season. Studies show us that the suicide rate is at an all-time high between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so that's why it's so important that I believe, and why we're doing a series like this that I would call a felt need, a type of series that really just connects right with where you're at and maybe the pain or the things that you are facing during this time of year. But our hope is truly that you experience a white Christmas. And I want to start right off in this verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 1. And this is so awesome because I love the way, and we read this scripture last week when Pastor Rob was here, and I love it because God is making an appeal to you and I, and he begins it by saying this: come now, let's settle this. Everybody say, let's settle this. Now, he's wanting to make sure he gets our attention on this because he's wanting to bring some settling to our hearts and to our life. And that is my prayer today, that we leave here with a greater level of peace, a greater level of confidence in what God is doing in our lives and what he wants to do for us than we've ever had. It goes on to say, though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I make them as white as wool, if you will only obey me. You know, when we're talking about a white Christmas, we're not talking about snow on the ground. Although I know many of you probably would like some snow on the ground. Most people in Fort Wayne tend to like snow, but maybe some of you enjoying the 50s and the projected record high this week. I'm not. Like, I want some snow at least for Christmas. Then we can have the 60s all year long. Come on, somebody, all right? But I want to make sure we understand that it's not about what the snow that's on the ground. It's about the condition of your heart. And that God wants to make your sins white as snow again. And the great thing about God is that he has the ability to do that if you and I will just lean in and obey him. And so as we kind of work through this message today, there's probably going to be a few things as we go through it that you may not get too amped up and excited about and maybe want to apply to your life, but I'm going to push on you a little bit and encourage you to open up your heart today for what God wants to speak to your life and allow him to minister to you so he can do something through you. All right, everybody? And so I believe if you want to experience a white Christmas, how many say, man, I want that. I want to experience all that God has for me. Yeah, we have to understand this. It's not going to be achieved with our same level of thinking. We have to buy in, we have to believe, and we have to embrace the ideas that God has and what his word declares to us. And we have to apply those things to our lives. So over the last few weeks, in our first week of this series, and if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you to jump online, make sure you listen to it. But the first week was a powerful week. Can I tell you something? That first week of this series was one of my favorite messages I've had the honor to preach. There was just God's power and anointing on it as we talked about the anchor of the soul. And if you missed that message, I'm just encouraging you, go back and listen to that message, and you're going to have a greater understanding even of this series today. But we understand that when God truly, the hope that you and I need, desperately need for our life, and we see it as an anchor, the storms of life and things may hit you, and while the rest of the world is in chaos and losing their minds, it's amazing that when you're anchored, and you know who you're anchored to, you can experience peace while everybody else is freaking out. That's the source of hope that we have in Jesus, that no matter what, he is our anchor. Everybody say, he's my anchor. And then last week, I mean, enjoyed Pastor Rob last week. Didn't he do a great job? One of my favorite messages he's preached, and I told him that after services last week, and he talked about the power of forgiveness. And I think if you're going to experience a white Christmas, you have to understand that you have been forgiven. And something Timothy Keller said that he said in that message, Pastor Rob, last week, is that the forgiven forgive. That we understand that we have been forgiven, therefore we must release forgiveness to others. And so today, he actually kind of hit on it a little bit last week, and I'm going a little bit of a different route. But I want to talk to you on the subject of the ghost of Christmas past. Now, one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies is A Christmas Carol. Anybody like The Christmas Carol out there? All right, good. And with Scrooge and everything that he went through, and you know, if you've seen the movie, he was visited by three spirits. He was visited by the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. Of course, it started with Bob Marley, you know, and who started it out when he visited him and told him that these ghosts were going to visit him. But I was specifically told to tell you about the past because I think we get hung up the most. And I think our greatest struggle many times is our struggle of getting over the past. And I think if there's anything that holds us back, it's constantly this reminder of our yesterday. And I think if we can get beyond our yesterdays, we can experience all that God has. But a lot of times we feel like there's extra weight or there's extra baggage. Every time we try to move a step forward, that we're always reminded about what we did. And I want you to know that God has come to set us free from that. Not only did he come to forgive, but to set you and I free of everything that we have ever been through. Amen, everybody? And so some of us, I even think this, our biggest issues are not necessarily forgiving people, but it's forgiving ourselves. And I think we struggle a lot to, as we look at things that we've been through and allowing ourselves to move beyond. And I think that some of us are haunted because we have a distortion of what really is true. And we've been lied to. And because we've been lied to, we're hearing things that are scaring us and really affecting decisions and right decisions that we need to make. But the truth is, it's really not there. One of the greatest battles that you and I will ever have is in the battle of the mind. And I was praying a lot over this message because my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will really help me make this very simple for us, because I believe if you get a hold of this, it'll set you free. It'll free your mind and free your life for what God wants to do. Let me give you an example. When I was a kid growing up, one of my biggest fears, and you're going to probably get a little kick out of this, but one of my biggest fears, and I would look under the bed, I would go in the closet, and my fear was always of clowns. Like, yeah, just hate clowns. Like, oh, I got some witnesses in the house. You know, like, it just, I don't know what it is, but those things just freak me out. My kids will never have clowns at their birthday. I'm just telling you. If I see a clown, I want to karate chop it in the throat. I'm just telling you right now. Like, I just, that's how I feel. It's very strong. I know I'm awful passionate. And I used to go in my closet and look. Like, is it there? And it's not there. I used to look under my bed, and it's not there. And the truth is, my mind was going racing in places and really just kind of creating something that just simply wasn't true. And I think it's interesting that there's another word for the word ghost. I want to give this to you because I thought this was incredibly fascinating this week. And that is the word wraith, W-R-A-I-T-H. And it's actually where we get the word wreath from. So now you're probably wondering, how is a ghost and a wreath or a wraith that's hanging on my door connected? And here's how they're connected, because both of them require twisting. The word wreath actually means twisted greenery. And the ghosts of the past have the ability, and this is what the enemy's real good at, and trying to twist things and get you to believe things that they're simply not true. He's got an ability, and see, this is the thing, here's my hope today. You ready for this? My hope is to really kind of help us understand God and his freedom, but also allow us to get hip to the game of what the enemy's trying to do in our life. Because that's, the enemy brings it, you know, when truth is presented and there's nothing that the enemy can do, he's not creative. He just tries to pervert everything God has created. And I believe that if you cannot get past your past, it may be because of that ghost of the past that has twisted some things in your life. It's gotten you to believe some things that really just aren't true. And so this morning, I want to just kind of help untwist you're thinking, if you'll let me just kind of work with you this morning. Amen, everybody? So I want to talk about a few things that I think that we have just done that are incorrectly as it relates to our past. And the first one is, as you can jot this down, is we can bury it. A lot of times when issues and things come up, instead of just dealing with things, we oftentimes just bury it. We just kind of put it under, sweep it under the rug, so to speak, and just believe, well, in time, it'll be okay. And but the truth is, we got to deal with it. The truth is, we've got to get honest with it. And so we oftentimes do that, and there's a saying that I just think is garbage that's been said for years. And that is, well, time heals all wounds. And that just simply is not true. Can I tell you this morning that the only one who can heal you is the Holy Spirit? Come on, I'm going to say it again. The only one who can heal your life and your heart of everything or anything that you've ever been through is the Holy Spirit. Amen, everybody. And so we must understand that it is only by him that we can receive that healing for our life. And so the truth is, if we continue to try to sweep it under the rug or try to bury it, we're going to be haunted by that thing again. And so we've got to make a decision, instead of burying it, instead of just sweeping it under the rug, that we're going to get honest and we're going to allow God to heal us, because we're going to deal with these things. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. By the way, this verse is a great example of why we do small groups. We're in a break right now because of the holidays, but our semester is going to start up the 1st of February. But it says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And in my notes, I just underline, conceals his sins and does not prosper. You are only as sick as your secrets. And there's a reason why God has placed scriptures much like that there, because we need to get honest with God, and then we must get honest with people. James 5:16 tells us all about that. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. And we know that scripture says this, if you don't know it today, that we have an advocate with the Father, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So not only can we experience forgiveness, but we can experience healing. And it just takes you and I being honest. Yeah, being honest about what we're going through, not trying to carry things on our own, but getting honest with God and getting honest with people. Because the truth is, you're never going to get healed of it if you continue to try to bury it. And really, when you bury it, you're just suppressing it. And it never produces anything healthy, because it's amazing that as you journey life, you're reminded by those things. And I'm going to talk to you more about that in just a second. But a lot of times we're haunted by our past, because we've not fully allowed God to heal us. Here's the next thing that we do a lot of times, is we can beat ourselves up. A lot of times you and I can be our own worst enemy. We blame ourselves for things that have been done. We think, well, that's my fault in this situation, that situation. And I wanted to just say this, because I think maybe somebody or maybe more than one needs to hear me say this today. That whatever you've faced and whatever you've been through, whatever your past has been, I just want you to know, and because I feel like some people have placed so much blame on themselves, and I just feel like I need to tell somebody, it's not your fault. Whatever's happened to you, whether it be abuse or things that you've been through, that it's not your fault, and God desires to heal you. And he desires to make things new in your life. Amen, everybody? David was in the same place where he was encountering the same thing that I believe many of us go through, and that is being his worst enemy. He said this in Psalm 38. He said, I'm drowning in the flood of my sins. They are a burden too heavy to bear. Some of you know exactly what he's talking about here. Because I have been foolish, I'm utterly worn out and crushed, and my heart is troubled. Here's the third thing that we do, is then we blame others. So instead of dealing with it, we either bury it, we blame ourselves, or we just, it's misplaced. And we start blaming other people for the pain or the things that we have gone through. And I'm going to kind of go back, way back in time. How many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? Hey, some of y'all, good. Flip Wilson, you know what? He used to have a saying, the devil made me do it. You know, and have you ever watched any of his shows? And that was the thing. And so we're always blaming somebody. Something. instead of just getting honest and dealing with what's going on in our heart. Honestly, it happened way back in Genesis 3, because Adam and Eve experienced that, the serpent deceiving them, and then they just begin to cast blame. And you've seen this for generations. People blaming one another and nobody really taking responsibility. But I believe this, if you're ever going to really get past your past and you've identified that, man, there's some twisted thinking that I've had, we need a new set of beliefs to send us on the course of what God has for our life. And so I kind of built us to get us to this point, because at this point, I hope that there maybe are some things that you're identifying. And that you realize, man, I really do need God's help. And I really do need him to help untwist some thinking, because that's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to help you with that today. So here's what we can do. We can believe God. We can believe God. And really, really, everybody, take him at his word. Because when you believe in God and you believe his word, you know that it's true. And can I tell you something awesome about God? That he sees your past differently than you do. I'm so glad that my past doesn't determine my future. Like, I'm so glad that, we all got stuff back there. But who wants to go back to Egypt anyway? Not me. And we all got stuff. But thanks be to God that he makes us new. And I'm so glad that even the mess-ups and the screw-ups that I've had doesn't determine my course, doesn't determine where I'm going, because God sees me and my future differently than even days that I don't see a future for myself. Days that I'm fearful of the future, that I know that God is confident in us. As much as we believe in God, he believes in us too. Don't ever forget that. But if you've identified and you see, man, this ghost has done some twisting in your life, I want to help you get you to a place that you can see the way that God views you and having a right view of him. First of all, it's right here in 2 Corinthians. I want y'all to help me read this today, if you would. All right, you ready? Is it up there? Here we go. All right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Everybody say, the old has gone,
the old has gone,
the new has come.
The new has come.
That's a word for somebody. Your yesterdays are gone. When you step into a relationship with Jesus, guess what? Your past and all of that is done. It's been erased. He remembers it no more. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that I don't have to, as I'm trying to move forward in my life, that I have to be reminded about everything I've done wrong. No, it's under the blood. He's paid the price for you and for me. But some of us are getting visited by a ghost or by a clown that just ain't there. It's not there. And we're making this thing bigger than what it is, but God's saying it's not there. You've been forgiven. That the problem is we don't believe it's gone. And my job today, what I'm trying to do, is not to help you take it away, because it's already been taken away, but it's to help you believe it. Help you to see that what God has said and what his word is true and it's life for you. And so you've got to believe that the stains of your yesterday are forgiven and wiped clean in Jesus' name. You're brand new. The old is gone. Come on, one more time. The old is gone.
The old is gone.
The old is gone. The new has come to your life. You know, there's a new series I'm going to do in 2 weeks at the beginning of January as we start 2016 out. I'm just going to tell you, don't want to miss it. Something God has just laid on my heart. That we're just calling new direction, new decisions. That we are serious about coming out of maybe whatever the struggle has been and allowing the Holy Spirit to help us really go in the course that he desires for our life by going in a new direction while making some new decisions. And the key is, and here's the couple things I'm really excited about. There's a couple things that I've been just kind of stewing on, praying on, and I try to work our series well ahead of time, but making it stick. Having the sticky factor, because, you know, there really is a place in God that you can be consistent and you don't have to just ride the waves all the time, but you can be consistent. And so this is what I love about God and the Bible. Do you realize that God uses people with a past to help minister life with people who have a past? I'm gonna say it again. God uses all kind of people in Scripture that's got a past to help minister life and strength to people who've got a past. And I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad because he used some jacked up people, y'all. Like if you have any time, and I encourage you, and I encourage all of us at the beginning of this year, and something we're going to do is the one-year Bible and getting the word in you every day. It's so important. You can't grow unless the word is growing with you. You need that wisdom. You need that help in your life. But he picked some pretty bad people. He picked this guy, you know, named Paul. And Paul has this experience with God. But the thing about him, the dude was a serial killer. Like, straight up. Like, you talk about issues and past. Whoa. Think about that. Of all people, he uses, scholars say, dude was like 4'10", cross-eyed, but crazy. All right? He may not be tall and buff and big, but baby, don't mess with Paul. He's crazy. You ever had a crazy kid in school? Like the one nobody wanted to mess with because he was crazy. Like he'd just do anything. I don't know. I've had them guys in my life. All right. So, but nonetheless, here he was, jacked up, issues and all. But then God uses him. He becomes an apostle. He becomes a church planner of all things. And God uses him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Huh. Not too shabby for a guy who's got a past. And he used him. And you got to get this secret. And I'm getting ready to give you in 1 Timothy because this is powerful. It says this, that even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul's talking here, and a persecutor, oh, and I was pretty violent, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here it is. If you got a highlighter, a pen, underline this next sentence here. Here is a trustworthy saying. Paul is saying you're believing a ghost. You're believing things that have been said to you, but it's not there. There's no clown in the closet, Kyle. Whatever that may be for you. But he said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. There it is. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He said, of who I am, the worst. You cannot be full of faith until you give what God is saying, and that's fully accepting everything that he said and taking him at his word. Because when you fully, and I don't mean partially, everybody. I mean when you jump in and go all in with God and you fully accept everything that he's saying, it then becomes a reality in your life. It begins something that begins to play in motion. And Paul's saying, but I'm the worst. Like, I was a serial killer. Y'all ain't got a clue about what a serial killer is, but I do, Paul's saying. I was violent. I had a lot of issues. He's saying, if God can change my life and forgive me of that stuff, he can set you and I free in Jesus' name. We just got to be confident and fully accept it. Amen? So here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to stop trying to earn forgiveness. People are still thinking, and it bothers me, that we serve a naughty and nice list kind of God. Our culture even teaches it. My voice is a little raspy today. You have to forgive me. I'm kind of fighting something. So, you remember the song, though. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. You're going to go to hell. But listen, that's what our culture and religion says. Making a list. Checking it twice. And it's true. Our culture and religion paints that about God that's not true. And then here's what happens is you step in a worship experience. Some of you experienced this morning. And you begin to enter in and worship. And you begin. We're seeing about the great I am. All of a sudden your hands start lifting. But all of a sudden you hear, making a list, checking it twice. And then all of a sudden that voice, that ghost says, you don't deserve to worship. What about what you said? What about what you did this week? And that voice and the lies of the enemy begins to pour into our minds, then all of a sudden our worship is stopped and halted because of something that's already been conquered. We just got to get a hold of it. We just got to grab on and fully accept what God is saying for our lives. Are you here today, everybody? And so if you think, listen to me when I say this morning, and I think it's amazing to me how many people still feel like God is weighing it all out. And if you think you have to earn God's forgiveness, then you will make people have to earn your forgiveness. I'm gonna say it again. If you feel like you have to earn it, then you in turn are gonna make people have to earn your forgiveness. I've heard people say it. I've heard them. So I forgive them, but I'm never gonna talk to them again. They say, well, they haven't earned it, Pastor Kyle. Then I say, well, then neither of you. Because when you forgive, there's no but after it. There's no if. I'm so glad that I can come to Jesus and, you know, and he doesn't say, Kyle, I'll forgive you if. I'll forgive you, but this is, no. He just says, just come to me. Come to me, you who are heavy laden. He said, just come to me and I'll receive you. And just call upon me and I will save you. There's no ifs. There's no plan. You don't have to jump through a hoop. You don't have to do 5 push-ups to get it. All right, just accept it, everybody, and know it's free. Everybody say it's free. And that's what makes Christmas off the hook, is when you understand the power of Christmas and you understand the why of why God sent his only son for you and I. Jesus came to save sinners, and our debt has been paid. And I'm so glad it does. Guess what? Past, present, and future sins have been wiped away. Think about it. He paid for sins for the entire world, even non-Christians today. Their sins have been paid for. And if that weren't the truth, and the scripture also goes on to say that all wrath was satisfied because of the price that Jesus paid. And if that wasn't the truth, then every new person that would come to Jesus would have to die again and again. So he said, once and for all, it's been wiped clean. I've paid for it. I just need you to believe. I need you to believe in what I'm doing. And so people don't go to hell because of their sin. They go there because of their unbelief. Scripture doesn't say, stop sinning and you'll be saved. Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So we need to have that understanding. And so I think what happens, though, is we forget the price and what God has done for our lives, and we need to remember again, Ephesians says, it's by grace. Everybody say, by grace. By grace. You have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Meaning this, you can't earn it. You can only receive it. And here really, I was thinking about this last night. You really don't need forgiveness because you've already been forgiven. What you need is faith to believe that it's done and what he's done for your life. And so forgiveness is not something you do. It's something that you receive. And so when those ghosts try to come back and remind you of your past, it's the way the enemy works. You got to get hip to the game and understand that's the way, that's the tactic that he works. You got to do this. Number 2 is defeat every lie with the truth. Because I've heard people say, man, Kyle, if I could just forget. Man, if I just forget. And I'm just here to tell you, you won't forget. I said, man, can't you be more positive, Kyle? Whew. Okay, I'm positive that you won't forget. Listen to me. When the enemy starts spitting lies and reminding you of your past, you have to be armed with the truth. That's why the word of God must be a part of your life. Not just an occasional time, but something that you do daily. That it's a lifestyle. Because when the enemy and those voices remind you of, man, the decisions that you made, and man, the abuse that you went through, and the wrong decision, when that starts happening from the enemy, you got to be armed with the truth and know how to disarm that from your life. And speak the word and know how to confront the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? I'm preaching good up here. I'll say amen to myself if I have to today. It's that good today. I just feel it, all right? But you have to. The enemy, listen to me, is a master liar. I mean, it's in his job description. Look what Jesus says here in John. He says, hey, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies, meaning he is the liar of all liars. The Bible even goes on in Revelation chapter 12. It said, the Bible says that Satan stands before God day and night accusing you. But I'm thankful that God ain't listening to it. Ain't spending no time listening to that. We've got to be armed with the truth every day. We have to know what the word says about us. 1 Corinthians 1, it says that Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. People say to me a lot, man, Kyle, if I could just forget. If I could just forget. And then they say like, and I've heard things said like this, well, God forgets our sins. Help me, Kyle, to forget my sin. And I've heard that. And the key is you got to understand, God doesn't forget. Scripture doesn't say that. The Bible says that he remembers our sins no more. You know what that word literally, remember, literally means? It literally means that he refuses to bring it back up. Because if God forgot, then he wouldn't be omniscient. He wouldn't be all-knowing. And because he's a God who is all-knowing, he can't forget anything. But I'm so glad that he wipes the slate clean and he remembers them no more. And that's why I'm so confident that when the enemy tries to bring things up, because he does it in my own life, that I'm quick to remind him of words like this, of scriptures like 1 Corinthians, of who God says I am and what he declares for my life and for my future. And so you and I, we've got to do the same thing for people. We've got to release forgiveness. And if it's just like what Rob said last week. I love that statement so much. And Timothy Keller said it so good, that the forgiven forgive. And we must learn how to release that to other people. You know, this is going to be kind of funny, but I'm trying to also make a point when I say this. Like, ladies, you have a pretty amazing memory. Like, pretty good, man. Like, I'm usually rather impressed with your guys' memory. And I see it in my own life with my own wife. And we can have some of those moments, you know, like every marriage does, disagreeing and, you know. I mean, Bethany at times, man, she'll be, come work up, and, you know, she can remember things. I remember on September 7th, 2008, what she did. I'm like, what'd you say? September 7th, I'm like, how do you remember that? I'm like, give the brother a break. Like, there's a 7 days, after 7 days, there's a void policy. Like, you can't use that anymore. Like, help me out, please. Lord Jesus. She said, yeah, because I remember you wore that red shirt, and I hated it. And it was cloudy that day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen, it can be an amazing gift, but an amazing curse. And I'm telling you, we've got to be careful. I love you, baby. And let me just say this. Can I say something to you? Listen to your pastor. Move on. Move on. God has. So it's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. It's time to move in. 2016 is going to be ridiculously awesome for you. Do you believe it? It's time. And I feel the presence of God here, guys, today. It's time to move on. What this year has brought, good, bad, and ugly, is its own year, and it's going to be gone here in a couple weeks. I like the new year. Because it's an opportunity for God to do something new and see something different. Y'all here today? Just trying to help untwist your thinking. Stop earning. Stop feeling like you got to earn his forgiveness and receive it. Because when those ghosts come back, you got to know how to fight. The word being in you and how to defeat the enemy. You got to stay armed. Lastly, Kyle, man, you still just don't know how bad it is. You don't know what I've went through. Watch this. Number three. Allow God to turn it around for good. I believe this because I've been through some stuff in my life. So I feel like I can say this. I'm a good candidate to say this. That there is purpose in your pain. There is. And no matter what you've been through, that God truly can and desires to use that to minister and touch the life of somebody else. And can I tell you, when you get to that place and you understand that God wants to use it for good, you'll be amazed at the personal healing that begins to take place in your life when you start helping other people through it. You know, there's no accident, the things that every one of us have been through, there's no accident in that. That God has a plan and he has a purpose. And I think we need to take God up on his offer for him to use it for good. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite life verses. Paul's talking here, and you know, just because Paul gave his life to God didn't mean he had some trouble. The Bible says that in this life on earth, you and I are going to have trouble. We're going to experience things. But I'm so glad in some of the most difficult, toughest seasons of my life that I realized that I'm not alone in this journey, that God is next to me, that I'm not handling anything by myself. I don't make decisions by myself. I make them with God. And so I know that whatever is coming at me and whatever is hitting me, that God is always surrounding it. And you have to see God is surrounding you and claim scriptures like this, that we know in all things. Everybody say all things. Okay, now say it like you really believe it, because that was weak. All things. There you go. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. He never, ever, ever stops working for your good. I know you may not understand it, but he understands it. And you got to trust in the knower, that he's going to work it out. And everything that God is doing is working it for your good. He's going to use you in your life. There's not going to be a wasted story and a wasted life, because God desires to use every one of you. And purpose is in you. Joseph was in a place, Genesis chapter 50. Incredible story. Brothers, his haters were lined up in his own family. They sold him. They wanted to kill him, but instead sold him off as a slave. And he goes through these seasons. Can't imagine. Then he starts serving this guy by the name of Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of sleeping with her. And then he's trying to run out of the house, but because of the false accusation, it's believed, and now he's spending time in prison. Can you imagine where Joseph may have been? Like, Lord, look at this. My brothers wanted to kill me. They sold me. I was falsely accused. Now I'm in prison. And he wasn't in prison for a couple days. We're talking years. But even in the midst of what he was going through, God was turning it. He didn't know it. Didn't know it was coming, but he continued to lean in and believe and trust God. God gave him just an anointing to interpret dreams, and all of a sudden he finds favor and he becomes second in power in his nation. God shows him there's a famine coming. It's time to stock up and prepare, because there's going to be people, Joseph, that are going to need food, and you're going to help them. Little did he know that his own family would come back. They would come back. They would come to him and ask for food and help. And they came that day, and they didn't know Joseph, but Joseph knew them. And Joseph probably had the right to just slam the doors shut. He had the authority and said, no, turn around and go back. But I think we need to use this verse of scripture a lot more in our life. And it says this, and Joseph is identifying that you intended to harm me, the enemy. I'm talking about his brothers. But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is being done now, and that's the saving of a nation. And that is exactly why God is wanting you to fully accept his word, to transform your life. God's forgiveness, everybody, has already been paid for. It's been given to you, past, present, and future. You've got to just receive it. I close with this scripture in Romans 4:3. Abraham was a powerful dude. God used him to do amazing things. But a lot of people don't realize his story. Man, he had some issues too. But it says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. I love that part because that part, it says it was credited to him as righteousness, literally means the wrong things were made right because Abraham believed. It's powerful. So you don't need forgiveness. You need faith. Because forgiveness has already been given to you. You just got to fully accept it. What you need is now faith to believe. Would you bow your heads right where you're at today? Come on, all over the room today, if you just bow your head, just close your eyes for this moment here today. I'm going to read a scripture just over you, all right? It's in Matthew 1:23. I thought it was fitting. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Christmas is all about the greatest gift of hope that you and I could ever receive. God giving his son Jesus to you and I. He came to a people who were hopeless, came to a people who had a past, and said, I want to forgive you. And I want a relationship with you. Some of us today, as every head bowed and all eyes closed all across the room, some of us today right here, as you're listening to this, you need to now fully accept his forgiveness for your life. And quit pushing God away. I'm telling you, you're feeling what you're feeling because God desires a relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about joining a church. It's about coming into a personal relationship with Jesus. In just a moment, we as a church are going to pray. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you say, man, Kyle, that's me, I just want to ask you to lift your hand up in just a moment. And you can put it back down. We're not going to ask anybody to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. But if you say, man, that's me, I realize I'm tired of being haunted of the past. I'm ready to receive the forgiveness. I'm ready to move forward in what God has for me. All over this room, real honest with God, because I believe there's some that need to respond for the first time, and then there's some that maybe you've just been distant with God. He's kind of like that distant cousin you never talked to. But you know today, God is prodding your heart, and it's time to come back home to him today. All over the room, be real honest. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up without hesitation. 1, 2, 3, all over this room. Come on, hands all up, real high, real high. Thank you so much. Awesome, awesome. Proud of you. Thank you, sir. Over here. Thank you, man. Thank you. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Man, all over the room, man. Powerful. Thanks, guys. Now, we're going to pray a prayer together. And just mean it in your heart and believe it. And God is doing something brand new in your life today. And say it like this. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Come on, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing my past. Today's a new day for me. I accept the gift of hope, and that is Jesus Christ. I declare my life will never again be the same. Jesus, I surrender to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name. And Father, and I just pray as I seal this moment up, God, that we will fully accept, and I declare over every person, their past will not dictate their future any longer, but that they will rest in the promise of your forgiveness and of your freedom. Never again being the same. In Jesus' name.